I want to go on a little journey tonight, and before we begin, I would like to kind of tell you what that journey is, and hopefully it's a journey we will go on together, and if by the end of the lesson, if we have gone on this journey effectively, this is what will have happened, and it's this, that at the end of our journey, it will be crystal clear that it is immersion into Christ that gives an abundant centeredness. So I'm going to read that one more time. That at the end of our journey, it will be crystal clear that it is immersion into Christ that gives us an abundant centeredness. So I have kind of an illustration that I want to do to give us an idea of what we're talking about. And I've asked Drew to come up here. Drew, would you come up here? And I don't know if you all will be able to see Drew or not, but we're going to stand right here, okay? Drew, I'd like you to stand right here, and I'd like you just to keep your feet there about shoulder width apart, okay? Now, notice, okay, you're good. Now, notice that I took about three fingers, and I pulled Drew back slightly, and he immediately went back. This is actually what would happen with any of us in this case, because I've tried it on multiple people. And whenever somebody is not expecting that and they're just standing, it's very easy to throw somebody off balance. So now I want to try something a little different, Drew. What I'd like to ask you to do is I would like you to just visualize in your mind that you are glued to the ground, okay? That you're very stable, you're glued to the ground. And if it helps the illustration, I would like you to maybe even visualize like an oak tree, okay? Like you're an oak tree. And you got roots coming up through the ground. They're coming up through your legs. And then your core is right here. They're coming up right to there. And you're centered. And when you, I know you got everybody watching, but when you can get that visual in your head, let me know.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay? Okay. Now, this is interesting because I'm pulling on Drew. Now, I'm actually pulling. Do you feel a difference? Okay. I'm actually pulling on him 2-3 times as hard as I was before. Okay, now I'll explain why that is. You can go ahead and have a seat, buddy. Thank you. So that is just a basic demonstration that psychologists, trainers of psychologists, will use to demonstrate how your mind will bring your physiology into order. Okay, so what I mean by that, rather than just some statement, is that whatever you think, whatever type of state your mind is in, even in an unconscious way, your body follows. So it just kind of illustrates the point. Now, to illustrate the point for us, you know, there's no voodoo in that at all. It's just, it proves that wherever your state is, your body follows. Now, isn't that such an amazing illustration of how if we are centered in Christ, if we in our lives are centered in Christ, there are very, very few things in this life that can take us off balance. There are very few things in this life that can take us off balance if we have that centeredness in Christ and we're not just trying to stand on our own. So, during the lesson, I wanted to talk about a few different things. There's really a couple of points that I wanted to make. And by the way, if you want to go ahead and be turning to Psalms chapter 1, that's kind of the series we're on now is different Psalms. And I chose the very first Psalm, Psalms chapter 1. That will be the entirety of our text for this evening that we'll be reading from. So I want to encourage everybody to turn there, Psalms chapter 1. And there are a couple of points that I want to make in order to convey this concept or this idea of being centered in Christ. And this is what we're looking at right here. These are the four points. I wanted to look at first immersion into wickedness, because if you're going to look at immersion into Christ, you need some context, and that's the contrast. So immersion into wickedness is the first thing we'll look at. The second is immersion into Christ. So you kind of have two points that kind of work together in Psalms chapter 1. Then you have the third point. We start talking about the metaphor of centeredness, a metaphor that's used in chapter 1 of being centered. And then in contrast to that, we see another metaphor. And that is the metaphor, and I don't know if this is a real word, but I like it, of being anchorless, of anchorlessness, or not being anchored. So we have the contrast in one kind of 1A and 1B almost, and then we have the contrast in 2A and 2B. So let's go ahead and read Psalms chapter 1, and we'll go from there. Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Okay, so let's begin here with the first point. And the first point we want to look at is immersion into wickedness. Because the idea is to see that to have an abundant centered life, to have an abundantly centered life, is to have a life centered in Christ. So we're going to take a look at what immersion into wickedness looks like, or how we become immersed into wickedness. Verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, if you look at verse 1 there, I'm reading from the NIV. It has a great flow to it, and it's a pretty good translation. However, if you look at in step, where it says that there, kind of in the middle of that verse, if you look at this in the original text, the concept of in step is there, but the word that seems to be a better word in the original text is counsel. And in fact, if you look at the more popular versions, the other more popular versions like the King James, you know, if you guys are reading from the King James or the ESV or the NAS, those are all going to say counsel rather than in step. So the idea of being in step is there and counsel is there. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way. It's the idea of being in a path, in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And we have all different translations for that. Scoffers, the scornful. One paraphrase uses college loudmouth, I think, which is interesting. It brings in the idea of intellect and scoffing at religion or scoffing at God. So we see all of these ideas. So we can really surmise that if you want to look at immersion into wickedness, now it uses three different verbs in order to talk about this, right? It uses standing, it uses sitting, and if we look at the idea, well, we'll get into that when I give the point, but it looks at standing, sitting, and walking as your three verbs. Now, there's not a whole lot else you do besides laying down, which is generally when we're not active. So it gives this idea almost that we get in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, that kind of the end of the matter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is that we're to reject every kind of evil. Okay? So it's like whether you're sitting, standing, or walking, you're to reject evil. Or to reject wickedness. Now, the reason it doesn't say, I mean, one reason I guess it doesn't say reject all kinds of evil here is because there's a duality to what's being said here. It's that we always need to reject evil, but then there's a second part to it, and it's this. So this is really what immersion into wickedness is. Avoiding wicked, number one, mentors, because we have the counsel in walking. Direction, we have this idea of the way or the path, standing in the way of those who are wicked and walking along beside them. So we have direction, and we have influence, which we see those who scoff or who say, you know, you're an uneducated fool because you believe in God. So if you want to practice immersion into wickedness, three easy steps. to practice this immersion into wickedness. So he doesn't stop there. He goes on whenever he goes to verse 2, and then he talks about immersion into Christ, which is what we're going to look at next. And we get the same ideas, the antithesis ideas from chapter or verse 2. Verse 2 says, "But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night?" We see the same word, meditate, in its same form throughout Old and New Testament. There's several different words that can be used that come up with the word meditate, but we see almost the identical word over and over and over again. And we started this thing here last week. We went on a retreat to Bull Shoals Lake, and the Johnsons family really took care of us, and we did a lot of fun stuff on the lake, our college group did. And one of the things we decided we were going to do is we were going to practice being present with God, and we were going to start meditating. The theme of the weekend was mornings with the Creator, and that we were going to start meditating every day. And so whenever we see this idea of meditation throughout Scripture, in order to meditate, it can be prayer, we see sometimes. It sometimes is not prayer. It sometimes is just thinking on these ideas or thoughts. And it can be both. It can be both, but it's not mutually exclusive, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So in order to be able to have this meditation, we really have three things that we do. And this is the immersion into Christ application. This is the studying, the thinking on, and the applying. Now, one and three I have added from different areas where we talk about meditation. You don't specifically see that here. This, to me, is the logical surrounding of the idea of meditation. Meditation, really, that we see here is thinking on, dwelling on, the idea of thinking on and it becoming a part of us. So studying, thinking on, and then applying those things is really immersion into Christ. So we've got immersion into wickedness, we've got immersion into Christ, and then we're going to go forward to look, excuse me, before we go forward, I want to make this point, almost past it. This is a verse that I found very interesting in my own studies. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. You don't have to turn there, but it's the idea of seeking Christ's face. And we've talked about this recently in our college class. Whenever we have these mornings with the Creator, the idea is that we are fully present with God. And we see these different places where it talks about seeking Christ's face, like literally seeking his face. And I find that so interesting. Psychologists will say that women have a lot better ability to be present than men do. And so whenever men and women talk, it is easier for women generally, and all the women, I see this kind of going on throughout the audience. It's easier for women, these are not my words, guys, this is psychology. Women, it's easier for them to be present. And what I mean by that is there's nothing else going on. They're focused in, and not only are they hearing it, but they're empathetic, right? You know, you empathize with what's being said. Now, guys, on the other hand, can be having a conversation with their wives, and they have no doubt they know what the score is on the TV behind them, okay? So the idea of presence is that not being there. Not all guys. I know some guys who are very good at being present. So this idea of seeking Christ's face, you know, if we want to be immersed into Christ, it's the idea of being present with Christ. And whenever we pray, maybe there are 100 things going on at the time that you pray. Maybe there aren't. Maybe you're able to get into a very quiet space. But either way, you shut all that out and you have presence with Christ. So that's really a few of the things that a few of the concepts we talk about when we talk about being immersed into Christ. Okay, so now we have the metaphor for centeredness. I'm not sure if centeredness is a word, but I like it, so I'm using it. Centeredness. The metaphor for being centered. Joe gave an excellent lesson this morning and talked about being anchored in Christ. And then I was like really sweating it because Joe's giving a lesson on the same topic before me. But it was already set, so I have to do it. So the word centeredness, it's a lot like being anchored. But it's the idea of being centered. Different word, basically, same meaning. So the metaphor of being centered we see in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So I want to make a point before we talk any further about this this idea of abundance. Notice how kind of in the middle of verse 3 there where it says, which yields its fruit in season. You can be centered in Christ, okay? We can be immersing ourselves with Christ. And can you go out and do something with the best intentions centered in Christ and it not work out, yes or no? Yeah, absolutely, of course. We can be trying to live our lives in the right way, trying to do things, taking actions, being fully centered in Christ, and things don't work out. And I find it interesting that it says in season. There's a season for everything. You know, we go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I think that's starting around verse 8, 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8. The idea that there is a season for everything. And sometimes whenever things don't go our way, I think maybe we feel like we're not centered in Christ, or we ask, where is Christ? It's very clear that you can be centered in Christ, and even if it's not a challenge or a battle, things don't go our way when we want them to go our way, because there is a season for everything. But going back, he says that this person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and out of season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. So this is what I take from this scripture, and it's what immersion really is. Immersion in Christ means an ever-flowing abundance of centeredness. Now, whenever I started at the very beginning of the lesson, what I said was is that I wanted us to see that it's immersion in Christ that gives us this feeling of centeredness. And I mean, how many of you guys at one point in your life have felt guided in your life? Okay, I hope many of us are able to say that. When we are living our lives for Christ and when we are immersed in Christ, we see that He continues to give us direction and to guide us. And the metaphor that's being used here is that we're rooted firmly and the stream never stops flowing. It continues to flow. It's like a tree planted by a stream of water and it yields fruit. And we know for us that means we produce. Good things happen. We produce. There is production. We are not still, stagnant, and non-producing. And whose leaf does not wither. And of course, we have everlasting life, being in Christ. Whatever they do prospers. So immersion in Christ really means an ever-flowing abundance of centeredness. So it's really interesting because this psalm, it gives us the contrast of immersion, and then it gives us this contrast of being centered or anchored. So then we look at the antithesis of this, and that is the metaphor of anchorlessness, of having no anchor, and we see that in verse 4. Now, he's saying not so the wicked, because they're not like a tree that's planted by the water that's not going to be moved. Verse 4 says, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. And it's important to make a point at the end of verse 4, whenever it says the wind blows away, that illustration of the wind blowing I think that's the word. I think that's the reason they use the word blow. A better word there in the original text is actually to drive away. And I like the idea behind that because it is purposeful. Rather than haphazardly the wind just blows something away. We also see this, again, I'm reading in NIV. In every other version I mentioned earlier, we see the idea of, I think the word drive is used. You probably see it in some of your versions there. So that the wind drives away. The chaff thing, you know, if there's anything that doesn't have an anchor, you know, chaff is basically the leftover, like, husks of corn or wheat or something like that whenever they've been threshed. So that's a great metaphor because we've just got through talking about a tree that's been planted by the water that's not going anywhere, and then we talk about chaff. It would be really nice to have some chaff, you know, just to be able to blow and just see how there's no anchor. Jared, did you bring some chaff tonight? Jared didn't bring any chaff. Okay. Did anybody bring chaff with him tonight? Okay. Forgot it? Wait a minute. I'm thinking maybe. Oh, yeah. Okay. I brought mine. So I'll make an illustration. I'm glad we didn't get pulled over on the way to church. Some of you get that. Some of you may not. If you don't get it, don't ask your parents. So I wanted to make this illustration, and I asked Jeff if this would be okay. I told him I would vacuum later. So the wicked, I'll just read it again. The wicked are like chaff that the wind blows or drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, we say the wicked, ooh, like that's not us, that's the wicked. Don't we have the ability to be wicked from time to time? I know I do. And so I think of not being rooted in Christ, and I think of, oh man, you know, why didn't I get that promotion at work? Or why did this guy do this to me? I cannot believe he did that. Or I can't believe that they are able to, you know, be so talented and I have to work so hard. Or I can't believe that I am someone who I just can't seem to get past this difficulty in my life, and it seems like nobody else really has that problem. Not having God in our lives or not living to be immersed within Christ means that when the difficulties of life come, you got nothing but yourself. You've got nothing but yourself to be anchored to, and an anchor can't anchor to itself. Just like using Drew as the illustration earlier, and it's like everyone, if all we have to hang on to is ourselves, you're going to fall. And it's Rocky who says it's not about the hits, right? If any of you have seen any of the Rocky movies or Rocky Balboa, it's not about the hits. It's about being able to take the hits and keep moving forward, okay? Because we're all going to get hit. So the question is, are you immersed in Christ or are you immersed in wickedness? Now, as I read this, this is the question that I ask myself. This brings us back around. Well, let me just bring this up. As the follower of Christ is centered, the one immersed in wickedness is absolutely anchorless, which is what we just said. Now, the question I want to ask is, how can we feel confident we are guided and know we have an abundant centeredness? How can we feel this way? Because sometimes I think, we think, or at least I think, that living the Christian life is just a challenge, is just a difficult thing to do. Now, living for Christ can be a challenge, but it's not only a challenge. If there's ever a bigger understatement, living for Christ can be a challenge, But it's not only a challenge. Being able to live a life where whatever direction you take, you know, you have no doubt that you were being guided in that direction. And I know many of you have been there before. If you've lived a Christian life for very long, you have no doubt that God has set you on this path. And when you have that feeling, nothing's going to knock you off your feet. And when you have that feeling, you're confident to stand firm. So the question remains, how can we feel confident we are guided and know we have abundant centeredness? And if I go back to what we just read, this is how. Through spiritual immersion, we allow Christ to watch over and guide our journey. We sometimes forget that Christ has made us in a way where He doesn't take control of us. We have choice. And so it's through this spiritual immersion that we talk about. It's through meditating on Christ day and night. You know, it's through that meditation that we study, that we think on, and that we practice these things. And it's through doing those things that we allow Christ to watch over and guide our journey. How do you know? You just know, because the Bible tells me so. You know. So we can, you know, we can have that knowledge that we can be centered in Christ. Tonight, you may not be centered in Christ. You may not have immersion into Christ. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Baptism, the word baptizo in the Greek, literally means the word immersion. And so if you want to be immersed in Christ, it's time to be immersed in Christ. If anyone needs any prayers of the church or has any other needs, if there's anything that we can do for you as a church at this time, please come forward while we stand and sing.